Father, we want to believe. We choose to believe what your word says. We want to see what you want us to see today. You've been having us talk about your love for us. May we have your truth quickened in us, as so many voices say the opposite of you. And we want to believe you, because yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3:4. Thank you, Jesus. We need you today. We would see Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all individually, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, who can bring accusation? Do you not have accusations made against you on a daily basis? If people aren't doing it, the devil is constantly accusing you. He is the accuser of the brethren. Whenever there's accusation toward us, through us, toward God, toward others, it's always the devil. Accusation. He is the accuser of the brother. God doesn't accuse. The devil does. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who accuses us? It is God that justifies or says, they're just as if they had never sinned. Just as if they had always been perfect. Just as if they had always been righteous. Who is he that condemns you? It is Christ that died. Hey, I took their sin. I already took their condemnation upon me, Jesus said. Why are you condemning them? What sin are you talking about? I can't remember them anymore. I already paid for them. It is finished. Who is he that condemneth? He's asking us this so we would recognize where these thoughts come from. Because he's wanting us to believe him, not the other voices. Who is he that condemneth? He said, here's the truth. Christ, it is Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? He prays for us every day. He forgave us, remember 1 John 1:9? And then he says, now I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to deal with your issues, your root issues that manifest in fruit sin in your life. I'm going to begin dealing with those root issues so that you don't have that sin coming out of your life. He says, but I've already declared you just, righteous. I already took your condemnation, your guilt, your accusation was all placed upon me. There's a verse. Where is that, Lord? Give me a second. I'm going to go look at something. It's right here that, that's not where I'm going to be. Then he says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice the questions. Verse 31, there's two questions. Verse 33, there's a question. Verse 34, there's a question. Verse 30, and he gives the answers after each question. But when we believe the question, when the devil, or our flesh, or the world, our three enemies, attack us, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and following. When we believe the questions of our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, when we begin to question ourselves, God says, what is the truth? Because Romans 8, 32, the truth will set us free. And notice in before John 8, 32, where he says the truth shall set us free, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciplined followers indeed. The truth is in the word of God. The word of God is truth. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is truth. When we stay in Jesus, like we were talking about before the service, when our focus is on Jesus, when our focus is on the truth, we don't believe the lies. We don't live under the condemnation of the lies and accusations. Now notice in verse 35, he asked another question. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? What is going to separate us from God's love? I'm going to say this again. The devil only has power over us when we believe his suggestions. The only power the devil has in our lives is suggestions. If you believe a lie, now you're under that lie. Now that lie controls you. Controls us. A week or so ago, I talked about how I was going through something, didn't know what I was going through. After that service, Sue and I talked, and she helped me to realize it was a lie, or a couple of lies, that the devil had spoken to me, had suggested to me, and I believed them instead of believing what God said. Remember the saying? Confusion only comes when we consider anything else than what God says. Confusion only comes when we consider anything else than what God says. And because I listen to those suggestions of accusation, of doubt, I went through several days of confusion because God had said in the supernatural, but in the natural, there's things that are true or seem to be true. But it's because we don't understand everything from the supernatural. We don't see and understand everything from God's point of view. So let's look at verse 35 again. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? When you're going through tribulation, does that mean he quits loving you because you're going through hard stuff?
No.
But we let hard stuff separate us. God doesn't love me. God left me. He's mad at me.
Why is he doing it?
Yeah, why is he doing this? There is no God.
Why would he do this to me?
Yeah, why would he do this to me? If he loved me, or if he loved so-and-so, why would he let this happen to them? Mm-hmm. Why does he let good things happen or bad things happen to good, what we call good people? We want God to not control our lives so that we can do whatever we want, but we want him to control our lives so nothing bad happens. But our lives, things result in our lives because of our choices. And sometimes things result in our lives because of other people's choices. But God is always there. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? So we're coming back to what does, this is all in the series, what does love look like? Do you really believe he loves you?
Yes.
But we've let tribulation separate us from the love of Christ. He says, how about distress? How about when we're in anguish or we're in narrowness, we're hemmed in. We're trapped. We feel like we're trapped. We feel like I'm stuck in this rut or in this situation. If God loved me, what separates us from the love of Christ? What do we let separate us? He doesn't quit loving us. His love is faithful. He keeps loving us. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. I can't find him. I feel like he's gone. But you said you wanted to be like him, and without faith it's impossible to please him. And we live by faith, not by feelings. What I feel, and it may seem very real, but what does God say? What has God told you? What does his word say? Is he true? That's right. Do our feelings ever lie to us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or what? Shall tribulation? Pressure? Distress? Anguish? Problems? How about persecution? We've talked about the last days. Persecution is coming, so if we're chained or put into a jail cell, or put in a place where we're about to have our head cut off for the guillotine. Did God love us? Did God quit loving us?
No.
Did God leave us?
No.
Did he? This is to help you right now with your life, but this is to prepare you for what's coming.
Amen.
The truth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Are we going to believe God and what God says, or are we going to believe the other voices, the world, the flesh, and the devil? Who are we going to believe? The flesh, our feelings, our circumstances. Does famine separate us from the love of Christ? Does nakedness, not having anything, being in a place of being destitute, being a homeless person, does that mean God quit loving us? Peril, problems, danger in our lives, sword, somebody going to kill us, does that separate us from the love of God? God wants us to know that we are continually loved. Then he goes on to say in verse 36 and 37, I'm going to let you read that. He said, we're going to go through hard stuff. But we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Verse 38, he says, I'm making a choice to believe. For I am persuaded that death can't separate me from the love of Christ. Life, anything in life cannot separate me from the love of Christ. Angels, nor any heavenly or hellish principality or power, nor any power of this world, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor looking up or down or in any other direction or any creature, none shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can choose to believe these things and say, yes, I believe this. Are you ready? This is going to help you. We were talking about it before, church. Are you ready? This is my choice. I choose to believe this. Now, God, will you begin to work in my heart of any seed or any root or any strings in my life, any areas of my life that would deceive me, that would cause me to doubt your love? In any of these areas, he's trying to cover them all here for us. I think he covered everything. He's God. I think he can do a good job of doing that. God, what is in my life? I believe you. But why do I find myself doubting sometimes? Why do I find myself believing the other voices? Would you show me what's in my life? Would you deal in my life and bring these things to my surface so that I can see them, break agreement with them, so they can be removed, so Jesus could come and deliver me from these attacks of the Antichrist enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Remember that. You got three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world system, it doesn't mean world people, but people are part of the system. But your enemy, remember, our fight is not with flesh and blood. They are spirits. A world system. A world way of doing things, which is Antichrist. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world way of dealing with things. Thinking. As long as I'm happy, if it feels good, do it. Not with the one you love the one you're with.
Yeah.
The world has all kinds of philosophies that are anti-God. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Your flesh, your feelings are your enemy. The enemy of the real you. Your eternal spirit man. The real you. He says, I've made a choice to believe you, God. Now would you come and show me where I have weaknesses, where my enemies have strongholds in my life that could bring me down, cause me to doubt you, cause me to even accuse you, God? That you've left me, that you don't love me, that you don't care. Lying like a baby.
Why me? Where, where?
They're very real.
Yes.
Let's get real. God, what is it? See, I choose to believe you. That's my firm choice. but in order for me to live here, see, I can step out of the boat and walk on the water. But for me to keep walking on the water, my focus and my heart has to be single-minded, set on Jesus. But Lord, I find myself keep sinking, and you have to keep picking me back up. And then I can walk up, and then I sink again, because my focus is, why? Because there's strongholds in my life. There's lies in my belief system. Would you please come reveal? I'm inviting you to come do whatever it takes so that I learn how to walk in the water more. So I learn how to trust in you more. So that I honor you more. So that I doubt you less. So I don't believe accusations against you. What are the strongholds? Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. There's a number of questions there. And then he gives us the answers. We need to look at the questions. Because we need to realize he's asking us, like rhetorical, so to speak, to get us to think on these things so that he can deal with the root issues that cause the fruit of doubt, cause the fruit of accusation, cause the fruit of fear, cause the fruit of faithlessness, unbelief. That was just a promise. John chapter 14. That was just the notes in the beginning. I didn't even know we were going to do that. John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You know what? You may have heard this, read this before, preach on this before, but I can't seem to get out of it.
That's okay.
Because the reason I can't get out of it, because God wants to get into us. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. These are terms of endearment from Jesus to us. He says, don't allow your heart to be afraid. You believe and trust in God, so believe and trust in me. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. I am right here. Why are you afraid? He says, I'm bigger than any need you have. Where's our focus? Are we focused on the waves or Jesus? Mark chapter 4, verse 38, please. Mark 4, 38 to 41. Mark 4, 38. Are you there? And he, Jesus, was in the hinder or rear part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish with the wicked wind? Don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus arose, he got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. I wish you could have been with us at the, what's that called at Easter? The Passion Play or something like that? At the church we were at, where my kids go on the other side of the state. They had a ship out there. They had this big screen behind me. There's a picture of a big screen behind me. And it, a picture of waves and a storm. And it's coming up on a sea. And then they have, they're in a boat. About five or six of them are in a boat. And it looks like they're on the water because what they did was they sent smoke, I don't know what that stuff's called, dry ice or something, smoke. And it looked like waves. And the boat, they had it so it would do like this. It would like kind of make different, it would tilt, go back and forth, but not the same, one like a seesaw, it was just It looked like it was in the water and bouncing around. And they're all like looking fearful and doing different things. It was so cool. And Jesus was just resting in the boat.
Do they do that every year?
I guess they do, but I didn't know. I didn't know the first time we ever saw it. And every year, I guess this year they added the boat. Every year they add a little more. And it was incredible. It was a packed house, like, I don't know how many, a few thousand. And it was just packed. And it was just, I mean, you have to get there like an hour, hour and a half ahead to get a seat, whatever it was. So Jesus, was in the rear part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, did Jesus care?
Yes.
Did he know what was going on?
Yes.
But it seemed like he was asleep. In this case, he was asleep in the flesh. But that's how we feel like God is with us. That he's asleep. Master, carest thou not? You don't care? Don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus arose, got up. He rebuked the wind. Wind, stop. And said to the sea, peace, be still. And they did that in this movie, in this play. It was the coolest thing. I mean, it was so real. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Now, let's stop there. The word fear, do you remember in, what is it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Perfect love. Or let's do it this way, complete love, but let's do it even this way. Mature love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. You can't be living in peace and torment at the same time. If you're living in fear, you're living in torment. If you're living in faith, then you're living in peace. So he says, another question, like we were over in Romans 8. Why are ye so fearful? Why are you living in fear? And they're like, are you kidding? We're out on this water. And a huge storm. And we're about to sink. And water's coming over. And you're just laying there asleep. Why are we fearful? Because we could die, we're crying out loud. And he's like, really? You've got before us, who can be against us? He said, do you think I don't know where you're at? I'm saying that for your everyday life. Do you think I don't know where you are? Do you think I don't know what you're going through? Do you think I don't know what that boss is doing? Do you think I don't know what your mate is doing and how they're treating you? Do you think I don't know about your needs or don't care? Why are ye so fearful? I think we need to answer that. When we go home and look at these notes, why are we so fearful? It's the opposite of faith. And then he said, how is it that you have no faith? How is it? Faith comes by hearing the word. He said, you guys are hanging out with the word of God in the flesh. How is it that you have no faith? I'm right here with you. I'm right here. You see, we want to kind of look at them and shake our head and go, how could they not get it? How come we don't get it? Why do we live in fear? Why don't we have faith? And they feared exceedingly. They were amazed and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Like, who is this? What I want to know is, who do you really believe Jesus is? Is he bigger than your need?
Yes.
Is he bigger than that child who's not saved and wayward? Is he bigger than your financial need? Is he bigger? Does he care? Does he know? Are you listening? Are you asking him? Are you doing what he's telling you? Can you improve on what he says? Those words, can you improve on what God says? I've learned. Because he said those words directly to me one time. When I tried to do something, trying to figure out, he told me not to do something. But then I did it thinking I had a good reason for doing it. Because it was going to church. And he told me not to go. But I went. I thought, well, I know what I've been doing that, but I gotta do it this time, I think. I think this time might be you. So he let me go, and I get there, and they're having church, and I can't get into it. And they're doing worship. And God was in the car with my wife and I. If there would have been any other people in the car, they would have suffocated to death because God so filled the car. But when we showed up at the building and opened the doors, he left. It was like he left. And we walked in. They were worshiping. And I thought, well, that must be where he is because they're worshiping. So I'll go where the worship is. So I went up front and they're worshiping. And I could not get into it. I tried as hard as I could to worship. And I said, God, where are you? And he leans down to me and says, why are you here? I said, Lord, I wanted to go to church and I thought this would be okay. And he says, but what did I say? I said, you said not to come. And he said, can you improve on what I say? I'll never forget it. So I'm asking you, can you improve on what he says? All you have to do is ask. You, things may not necessarily go the way you want. You may still have to sit in the jail cell for a while. Over in Revelation it says, be faithful. You only have to sit there for 10 days and then they'll kill you and you get to go home. They'll kill your body. You may not like what's going on, but you ask him. And if you're doing what he's told you to do, you have peace with God. I'm doing what you've told me to do. Then you can't improve on that. This is what God has for you right now. There may be things in your thinking. There may be things in your belief system that he wants to change your whole situation. Or it just may be what he has for you right now. Does your life belong to you or him? Did he pay for it? Did he buy you in full or just make a deposit?
He did in full.
And if it was paid in full, can he do with you whatever he wants? So there is that trust in him. But that's not where most people are at. Most people are just simply, we're going through things because of our choices. We're going through things. There's things in our thinking he wants to change. But the thing he wants us to change the most is he wants us to change what we believe about him. He wants us, he's telling us right here in this passage, verse 1, if we never got past verse 1, John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be afraid. I am right here. I'm right here. I didn't leave you. Remember Psalm 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, it's not about a blessing club. It's not about just living on the mountain all the time. He said, whatever you go through, he said, you can go through it if I go with you. If you know that I'm with you, you can live in peace. You can walk on the ways of circumstances. You can walk by faith. You can live in my peace. You can live through this knowing that my presence is with you. Hebrews 13:5. You got a hand, you got five fingers. Jesus will never leave me. Look at your hand. Jesus will never leave me. Five words. Hold the back of your hand up to your mouth. Say something. You feel the breath? He's closer than your breath. When you can't feel him, he's closer than your breath. You are not going to feel him all the time. It's really neat when he lets us feel him. But if you're going to mature, the just shall live by faith. Faith is believing and moving on. If you can see it, you don't need to have hope or faith. But you need to see it by faith. Jesus says, don't allow your heart to be troubled. Wait a minute. I'm all troubled. Wait a minute. Why am I troubled? Because I took my eyes off Jesus and I put them on the waves, on the circumstances, on the effect of the wind in my life. He says, you believe and trust in God. So, the same way, believe and trust in me. Who do you think Jesus is? He is God in the flesh. He is God having gone through everything you and I have ever gone through or will go through. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. I'm right here. Is it too big for me? Do you think I can handle this? Can I get us through it? Or are you going to worry? You'd rather live in worry? He says, I'm right here. I'd rather you live in faith. I'm bigger than any need you have. You may think you need something, and I don't give it to you. He says, I'm God, you're not. He said, I will meet your need, not your greed. I'll meet your need. He said, I have a plan. I have ways for things to work out. He said, there's a reason. He said, tithing, faithfulness, planted in a body, a church, under authority, protection. He says, there's so much that goes on in the background that you're not even aware of. And he says, I make it real simple for you. It's just real simple. These simple things. Hang out with me. Follow me. Trust in me. I'm right here. And I'm bigger than any need you have. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I like this next little phrase. If it were not so, I would have told you. We could talk about the mansions.
Right.
I'm building a place for you. I'm going to prepare it myself. I made the world pretty good till man touches it. It says, but I'm going to make you a home. And I care about you individually, and I'm going to put specific things in there that bless you and please you. And you're going to be in my Father's house. Your mansion is going to be within my Father's house. But then he says this. So we can talk all about those mansions. And all that's neat, and we talked about that a little bit. But look at the next part. Now, if it were not so, if this were not true, I would have told you, Roxy. If this were not true, I would have told you, Timmy. It's real easy. These are terms of endearment because he wants us to know how important we are. You don't tell everything to everybody. But you tell everything to your closest friend. And Jesus said, if it wasn't this way, I'd tell you, there's no secrets between us. Do you know how much he loves you? Do you believe how much he says he loves you? He says, now I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm going to come again. He says, I'm here. I'm leaving you to go build you a place, but then I'm going to come back to you. Why? Because I want to receive you unto myself. Father, beam me up. Beams up, builds a mansion. Father, beam me down. Roxy, come with me. Father, beam us both up. You're with him. How does it get better? And he says, and the whole reason for it, all that, is because I want you to be where I am. I want you to be with me. I was thinking about this, I think it was last night or the night before. When we used to do devotions with our kids, we had all these kids kneeling on the floor with us. We were all praying, you know. I knew a Bible study, probably more like a sermon. And when it would get done, then I'd say, let's pray. So we all get on our knees. Prayer, and she would pray her prayer, and then the kids would go to pray. God be with Grandma. God be with Mommy. God be with Daddy. God be with my teacher. God be with Pastor James. God be with. And then the next day, God be with. God be with. God be with. I kind of wondered if we were worshiping a false god. You know, God be with. Okay.
Be with it.
Yeah, but I didn't handle it right. I got mad one night and said, can y'all say anything you should be with? Because I thought you had to say something. I thought you had to say all these words. And then about 30 years later, God helped me to realize, there's nothing better you can say than be with. In his presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Be with. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'm going to fear it because you're not with me. But when you're with me, if you be with me, it'll be okay. But if you don't be with me, it won't be okay. You get it? Be with. What is more important than be with?
And those little kids had it right.
And those little kids had it right. But I was so self-righteous. and knew, trying to do everything according to what I was taught, that I didn't know be with was what was most important. I thought all these other words were important. Be with.
You know, it's not about all the words. It's about what God wants to speak. Because a lot of times, I don't say anything, and sometimes she wants me just one word. And it might be blue. Okay. So it's not like it's, you have to have a bunch of words, just what He wants you to say.
How does it get better than being with Jesus?
It is. There is.
How does it get better than asking Jesus to be with the situation? When Jesus shows up, and we're aware of it, we believe it, everything's okay, right?
Uh-huh.
But when we don't believe He's there,
Jesus don't leave us where we're at. Jesus, where He wants us to be.
It's so important to be with Jesus. Be with. And He says in verse 1, I'm going to be with you. And in verse 2, I'm going to build you a house so you can be with me and my Father. In verse 3, I'm going to come back so you can be with me.
He chases after us. He runs after us to be with Him.
That's exactly right. Janiah talked about that verse this morning, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which is lost. I came to look for you so you can be with me. You're the lost sheep, I'm the shepherd. I'm going to come after you so you can be with me. You're the lost coin, I'm going to sweep the house while I find you so you can be with me. Where is it that it is? Okay. Look at Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I think that's where it is. Where is it? In thy presence is fullness of joy. I thought it was Psalm 16:11, isn't it? Is it?
I just read Psalm
16:11. Now you read your paper.
Psalm what?
16:11.
Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Evermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I want us to go back to John 14 now for a second. You look at verse 4. And you can go through verses 4 through 6 or 8 or 9. But just look at verse 4. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Where I'm going, you know. And the way you know. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. And you know where I'm going because I've been telling you. You just haven't been believing. You've been wanting to mean something else. God, help me to believe what you're saying and what you mean instead of what I want you to mean. Help me to believe what you're saying and what you mean instead of what I want you to mean by what you're saying. I feel like we're supposed to be done. I thought we were going to get to other verses, but I enjoyed the ones we did. Father, I commit and commend each word to each of the persons that are hearing and are going to hear what was spoken. I ask that you would quicken it to our understanding. I ask that you would put the cookies on the bottom shelf so we can get a hold of it. I ask that you would help us to realize the roots and strings of doubt and fear that are in our lives, reveal them, that we could break agreement with them, confess them, make an eternal choice against them, and see you remove them out of our lives, that we would believe you more, that we would live in your presence more, that we would live in your peace more, that we would walk on the water more, that we would be with you more in our every moment of our life. We want you more than anything. We are troubled when we cannot find you. We say thank you, Jesus, that you never leave us nor forsake us.
Yes.
Help us to believe what you say above all the other voices of our enemies.